May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We talk a lot about revival around here, personal revival, corporate revival, but most of the time, as a pastor, I'm speaking to people about their own personal lives. There's a place in Matthew chapter 3 says this. This is John, the Baptist. As for me, I baptize you in water, repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The fire here isn't the fire of judgment. It's not just the fire of passion. The most dominant word, the most dominant purpose for which the word fire is used throughout Scripture is not judgment. It's God's love. It's a description of God's extraordinary, passionate, unrelenting love. Song of Solomon chapter 8 says it's like a vehement fire, the very flame of the Lord. No waters can quench it. And so when he talks about the Holy Spirit and fire, we're called, the first great commandment is that we would love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, brings a fire. That God wants us, we love him because he first loved us. And only as we catch a vision and experience, begin to experience in our own life how much he loves us, the fire of God. So we begin to love him back, and then we become burning ones, loving him with the same kind of intensity that he loves us with. He says his winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. A winnowing fork takes wheat or barley and it tosses it up into the air. And because the wheat or the barley is lighter than dirt, the chaff, or the it's heavier, it'll fall to the ground while the chaff and the other stuff will float away. And it's that way it cleanses and purifies. We've talked some here about repentance, brokenness. All revival starts with brokenness. All revival starts with a heart of repentance. Not a heart that's being condemned, but a heart that wants to yield everything in their life to him. And what I love about this scripture is that one, all revivals begin on the threshing floor, the place where you separate the dirt and the chaff from the wheat. And we're going to live our Christian life with the love of God. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. He says that the chaff will be burned in unquenchable fire, but the wheat will be gathered into the barn. You're going to spend the rest of your Christian life, if you want to walk in perpetual revival, with the love of God revealing the things in our lives that he wants to burn up, and the other things that are Christ-like, that are developing our lives, godly character, he stores in a barn. But the chaff, he wants to separate and burn up. But he burns it with an unquenchable fire, and it's not the fire of judgment. You see, what frees me up to be repentant, what frees me up to want to be more surrendered, radically surrendered, is that God has a fiery love for me that is unquenchable. It's his relentless, never-ending, ferocious love for me that releases me to go, I want to give you more. I can trust somebody who loves me that way. I'm not afraid to repent because you love me that way. We've misunderstood that scripture and make it into judgment. It's about God's unquenchable, fiery love for us. And because it's unquenchable, it's because it gives us freedom to be honest. Because we live with this innate fear that says, if I tell you and admit, really, then maybe you won't love me anymore. But his love is a fiery love that never goes down, and it's unquenchable. And it's in that context, at the threshing floor, that we're able to repent even deeper. We're willing to give even more. We're willing to say, well, take this too. There's something about threshing floors that are pretty amazing. In Ruth chapter 2, after for a seven-week period of time, Boaz, the type of Christ, has exhibited kindness and love towards Ruth. On the night of the threshing floor, when they're separating the barley from the chaff and from the dirt, it's like a big festival in this huge, huge room. And Boaz, this wealthy, wealthy kinsman redeemer, is going to be there leading it all because it's all his land and all his barley. And Naomi says, Ruth, you go tonight. Basically, he's proven his love for you and his kindness for you over these 7 weeks. You go there. You dress up. You take off your mourning clothes because her husband had died sometime before. You put on your best stuff and you ask him to redeem your life. And so she goes and he's made merry and he's asleep in a corner and she goes there and lays down at his feet and covers herself with his cloak, which was a sign of saying, take me as your wife. I want to belong to you and be one with you. I want you to redeem my life. Revival. This is revival. Revive my life. Transform my life. Take my life into your hands. Run my life now. I'm not going to run it anymore. Will you take my offering? She was a Moabitess. It may not be much. I'm poor. I'm a Moabitess, but will you take my offering and will you take my life as yours? And she lays at his feet and he wakes up and he sees her and he says, who is this? Because it was dark. And she says who she is, that she's Ruth, the Moabitess. This is what he says to her. There are four times in the Upper Room Discourse, from John chapter 13 through John chapter 17, where a remarkable statement is made by Jesus. Four times. He said, ask anything you want in my name and I'll do it for you. A crazy thing, right? Used to make me feel guilty. Doesn't anymore. It makes the hair stand, well, what hair I have, stand on the back of my, I have hair on the back of my head. Stand up on the back of my head. Real thing. You're kidding me. This is what we're going after? This is a possibility? Who gets that? Who gets to walk in that, Lord? You didn't offer that just to tantalize us and make us feel guilty that it's not real in our life. Who gets that? That must be what revival looks like. Anything you ask in my name, he said, I'll give it to you. Wow. She's laying at his feet and he wakes up and she says, spread your covering over me, over your maid, for you are my kinsman redeemer. He's asking him to take her life, transform her life. And he says to you, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after other young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. Threshing floor is a place of repentance and surrender and brokenness. I give my life to you, an absolute total surrender. I'll repent of anything you show me. Just keep showing me. And it's in that disposition. He said to her, you're showing me kindness by laying your sin and your life at my feet because I long to redeem everything that you are. I want to revive your life. Do you know that? That we come to the Lord, we confess our stuff, he considers that an act of kindness because he wants to redeem us and bless us. It's our sin, our independence that get between him and I. And he wants me to own that, lay at his feet, so it's no longer an issue. And then he said, ask anything you want, and I'll do it for you. People who live on the threshing floor are the ones who get to do what Jesus said, everything you ask in my name, I'll do it. Repentant, surrendered lives. The joy of repentance. It's not being made feel guilty. The joy of discovering you got more to give up to him. Because every time you give up, he gives more. He fills it with more. That's the heart. That's the life. The radically yielded, whom Jesus says, just ask whatever you want. I'll give it to you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.